On the top of Daf Vav Amin Aleph, we began this sugya yesterday. Hatzara Shavu Shebehen Lasuye Mai. What is the Mishnah coming to include when it says Hatzara Shavu Shebehen? And we have four shitos. We'll start with Abaye. Omar Abaye. Now, each one of these four shitos is going to introduce a Mazik, which is the chiyuv of which is derived from Hatzara Shavu, from two, the combination of two avos nezikin. Abai's understanding is lasuye avno sakinu maso sheinichan berosh gago v'noflu beruach mitsuya v'hiziku. So he left a dangerous, damaging object in a very precarious place on the top of his roof, in such a way that the regular velocity wind would knock them down from the top of the roof where he placed it, and someone would be damaged. And basically what we're going to see here in this case is that it doesn't fit clearly as a subcategory or a case of any of the to single out any of the mazikim. If on the way down, falling down, it hurt someone or some animal, hainu eish, this would be an exact subsidiary and application of the case of eish, because what's the definition of the defining character and nature of eish? Ma'ishna eish dekoach acher mu'uruv bo. What's unique about Eish is that he puts a mazik, or he creates a mazik, in a place where the wind, you know, he's in a sense he's employing the forces of nature to complete the damage. Umamoncho shmirasa olecha, and he's responsible for this mazik. Is haninami this case as well? A by scenario of avno sakinu maso brosh gago is also koach achem ruvbo mamon choshmirosan olecha. This is exactly eish. The wind carries down the mazik. So it cannot be the case where bahadi dekaazli kamazki, but rather, let's offer another twist on this scenario. Elabosar denaychi. After the even, for example, hits the ground, it's stationary now, somebody comes along, trips, or is damaged by this stone. So the Gemara says, that should be bor. Idaf karinu, bein Rav, bein Shmuel, hainu bor. Rav insists that bor is only chayev when it's ownerless, like ki yichreish bor b'shus harab, and that's called hefker. Shmuel extends the chiyuv of bor to include even a case where he owns the bor. So the Gemara says, if he was mafkir the even, that's bar according to everyone. Bein l'rab, bein l'shmuel. Maishna bar, what makes bar, what defines the characteristic of bar? Shekein t'chilas asiyos l'nezek. A bar is a dangerous, damaging object by its very nature, from its inception. U'mamon choshmiros an olecha. And you are responsible for the hezek of the bar that you created. Is haninami here too? The avno sakinim aso tchilas asiyosin l'nezek, meaning from the moment that the even hits the ground, at that point, it's in its new situation in life, it is a mazik. It's tchilas asiyosin l'nezek. By its very essence, it's a dangerous, damaging object. And therefore, as Rashi points out, Hainu bor de travayu amri kol takola shehifkir nafkala mibor. This is the case of a takola, and everybody agrees, even Rav, that a bor shel hefker is a bor. Rashi quotes the Gemara later on Daf Mem Tes. In Shor Shenoga Sapor, it says, Al iske kriyo psicha bolo. He's chayev because he set up this bar. He dug it, he opened it. It's kol shetakaloso, kol takaloso shehifkir chayev nami. Doha nami tchilas asiyosu lenezek. Notes, he should have known from the moment that he placed it on the top of the roof that it's going to become a mazik. So the Gemara says, let's say he wasn't mafkir the Evan when it hit the ground, but l'shmuel, at least according to Shmuel, it's bar, because the Omar Shmuel maintains that kulam miboro lamadnu. Any case of bar, even if he owns the bar, is called bar, hainu bar. So the Gemara says, li'olam dafkarinu, even if he made it hefker, and you want to say that according to everyone, even Rav would agree it's a bar, no. Lo domu lebar. Because bar means that you created the bar. Here you need the koach achamu uruvbo in order to create the bar. Malu bar shekein ein koach achamu uruvbo, tomer bahani shekoach achamu uruvbo. So the creation of this bar, of the Evan, is a result not just of his placing the Evan on top of the roof, but also of the wind that blew the Evan down to the ground. And it's really the koach achamu uruvbo that creates the bar. So if I only have the mazik of bar, we cannot derive a chiyuv in the case of avnu sakinu maso. So the Gemara says, Eish tokhiyach. From Eish we could derive the conclusion that even if it's koach achamu uruvbo yechayev, don't tell me that koach achamu uruvbo is a siba poteres, no, yechayev. But then again, if you want to derive this case of Avnos Sakinim Asof from Eish, Mal Eish Akein Darko Lelech Ulahazik, in the case of Eish, the Eish goes out and catches the damaged, you know, the victim, the Nizak, but here, in the case of Bar, it's the Nizak who comes to the Mazik, is Bar Tochiach, V'chazer Adin, and now we create a Tzadah Shoveh, as Rashi points out here, between Bar and Eish. Rav Amar, Rav gives a different case, which also requires a Tzadah Shoveh. And that's the case, Lasuye, to include the case of Bar Amis Galgil V'Ragli Odom Ragil Behema. He places a bar, let's say a stone, in the Rishus Rabim, in such a way that, although maybe in that location where he puts it down, it's not going to be Mazik, but it will be carried by those, you know, humans and animals that walk through the Rishus HaRabim and kick things as they go, and it's going to be relocated in a dangerous place. And therefore, from the get-go, he should realize he's creating a bar mizgalgil. Hechi domi yivdafkarinu bein l'rab bein l'shmoinu bar. This is a bar, if he was mafkered, even according to Rav. Maishno bar, what defines the nature of bar? Shekein t'chilas asiyos l'nezek. Ushmiroso alecha, aninami, tchila asasiyoson, lenezek, ushmiroson alecha. He should take into account that when he puts this Evan down in Rishus HaRabim, it's going to be relocated in such a way that it'll be mazik. He should be careful about it and guard it. That's called tchila asasiyoson, lenezek. Here we have bar. Elav Delof Karina, so you want to tell me he wasn't Mafka the Evan, is Lishmuel, even according to Shmuel, the Omar Kula Miborolomadu Hainu Bor. We Olam the Afkarinu, he made it Hefker. I, Bain Lerab, Bain Lishmuel, that should be a bar. Lo Domi Labar, I cannot derive it from bar. Malabarshkein Maisov Garmulo. In the case of bar, he dug the bar, he caused the hezek. But here he needs the ragli odin ragli behema to be megalgilit in order to create the hezek. So there's an admixture of another contributing factor in order to produce the end result, the hezek. Tomer bahani she'ein ma'isav garulo. The fact that he put the Evan in place X, that itself would not, in and of itself alone, be mazik. So he needed the participation of another partner. And that is the action of the Adam, or the animal that's Megalgil, the Evan, the bar, from one place to the other. So Gemara says, Shor Yochiach. Shor itself will prove it, because you cannot say that the actual Hezek of the Shor, when the Shor was Mazik, is a result of the action of the owner of the Shor. You could say it's his Mammon, but it's not his action. The shor itself is a contributing factor, a variable that generates the hezek. So too, in the case of Baram is galga baragli odem baragli behema, like shor, there's a contributing factor. The Gemara says, no, you cannot derive this from shor. Malus shor shekein darko lelech ulahazik. He has to be very careful about a shor, insofar as a shor is an active go-getter that seeks out the victim and damages the victim. Here in this case of bar misgalgil, the bar is an inanimate object. It's not something that you should anticipate. It's going to move. It's going to move on its own volition. And Rav establishes that this case of bar misgalgil is a derivative from the combination of both shor and bar together. The shor element is going to teach us that even though it's not mice of Garmelo, the bar element is going to teach us, even though it's not darko lelech lahazik, and if we combine the two, we don't have a siba poteres, but rather the common siba mechayeves, which is mamono shmiraso alecha. Now we have the third possibility, Rav Ada bar Avam, our lasuye. He wants to include the case, whereas we'll soon see, you have reshus, you have actual permission, the green light from the Beznin to create a bar. The sanya we learned in the Braisa called Elu, She'omru, Poskin Bibioseim. These bivin are sort of like the tunnels which would take the rubbish and all sorts of junk, and from time to time, of course, you had to clean them out. The garfin maroseim, and you want to take and sweep out the collection of all these shofchin, what we call. And when you push them out, you sweep them out into Rishus HaRabim, they become damagers. So the Braisa differentiates between the winter months and the summer months. Bimos HaChama, when the streets are relatively clean, Ein Lem Rishus, you're not allowed to shove this all out, all this garbage into Rishus HaRabim. But Bimos HaGeshamim, during the winter months, when that's what people do, you know, all over the place, they are pushing this all out into the rechovos, into the streets, and they're dirtying the streets, and they do it birshus. Bezdin gives them a rishus, but the Braisa continues, afal pisha birshus, even though Bezdin allows them to do this, imiziku chayovim l'shalim. It's not that Bezdin said, you know what, you're allowed to push all your zevel into the rechovos, into the Rishus HaRabim, and you don't even have to be concerned about the possibility that it might damage someone. No, we're not exonerating you from the responsibility of guarding against damages. We're allowing you to do it as long as you take responsibility for it. So in this case of Rishus Bimos Agshamim, in Iziku, the Braisa establishes Chayovim L'Shalim and Hechidomi. Let's get the scenario and see what under what category of the Ovos Mazikim would he be Chayov? Ibahadi the Ka'azli Mazki, if as he shoves this stuff out or he opens the Bivin so that all these tzinoras are open and they pour into Rishus HaRabim, and as they're pouring, they hit somebody or something or some animal, and they're mazikim. Is kochohu, that should come under the halacha of Adam HaMazik, that's called kocho, when it's a direct result of the action of man. And therefore, I don't need a tzad hashavah to derive the chiyuv here. El, you're going to say, Bosa de Naichi, the hezek took place after the zevel became permanent and stationary in its place. That sounds like bar. But Heichi Dami, again, the Gemara goes through the whole rigmarole as we did for Abaye and Rava before us. Same thing now for the third Shita, which is the Shita Ravada. E, the Afkarinu, is Bein Lera, Bein Lishmanu, bar. Maishna bar, Tchilas, Asiosul, and Nezik, Mimon, Choshmirosan, Alecha. Both Rav and Shmuel agree that if you retain ownership over this damaging rubbish, this bar, then it's chilas asiyosel and nezik. From the time it hits the ground in Rishus HaRabim, it's a potential damager, a very dangerous thing. We should anticipate damages, and you're responsible for it, even though you're mafkir. But that is bar. Haninami, this case also of poskin divyoseyan is also chilas asiyosel and nezik umamoncha ushmirason alecha. And he says the following. He says, Ela de lo afkarinu, if you're going to try the other possibility that he wasn't mafka, this rubbish, again, I don't know what he does with it or what he intends to do with it, maybe he'll use it as fertilizer, I don't know, is then, according to Shmuel, the Amar Kula mi bar lamadnu, it is bar, hainu bar. So either it's Adam Amazik or bar, where's the tzad shavish behen? Li olam diafkarinu, he was mafkarit. And bein l'rab, bein l'shmul l'chara, this should be bar, lo dami l'bar. This is different than bar. In other words, bar has an element that generates the chiyuv, which doesn't exist here in this case of potkin. Malabar shekain shalo bershus. Who permitted you to dig a bar in the middle of Rishus HaRabim, a dangerous pit? And therefore, you take responsibility for damages. But here, Tomar Bahani Debrishus, in the case of Potkin Bivoseyam, there was Rishus. Bezdin allowed him to do it. Maybe by definition, once Bezdin allowed him to do it, that should itself undermine and vitiate the status of Bar as a Masik and the Chiyuve Tashlume Bar. Moses raises the following objection. How can the Gemara define bar as shalo bershus? The halacha is that if a person digs a bar bershus, that means, let's say he digs a bar in a private area, and then he's mafkir, he gives up his ownership, and in such a case he's chayav mishum bar. The answer is, as Tosis, the hefker itself is shalo bershus. He has no right to be mafkir a bar. And once we're mentioning Tosis, we mentioned before the sugya of Shar Yochiach. Actually, we didn't mention it yet, so let's just read it. The Gemara now says Shar Yochiach, which means that in the case of Shar, he's allowed to take the Shar through Rishus HaRabim, and yet he'll be chayav for damages. And therefore, it's exactly similar to Potkin B'Vivoseyem. In other words, from Shar, we're going to derive the principle that even if you're allowed to do something in Rishus HaRabim, you still retain and remain responsible for the damages that are incurred. Fectosis, Tosa wants to understand, what does the word Shar mean? According to Rav, you're right. We're talking about a Shar who's Chayav Rishus HaRabim. But if you interpret Shar the way Shmuel understands Shar, again, there were different possibilities in Shar, but at least the original understanding was Regel. And Regel is Potter Bishus HaRabim. Regel is only Chayim if the animal tramps on the fields of Yenim, he goes into his Rishus, the Rishus of the Nizak, but he's not Chayim for Rishus HaRabim. And if that be the case, and by the way, that we saw back on Daf Hey Amid Beis, if you remember the Gemara that we learned yesterday, the Gemara wants to know, why did the Torah bother formulating the Mazikim of Shein Veregel, which can be derived from Etzad HaShoveh, if we have Bar in another combination thereof? And the Gemara answers, to teach us the Halachas, in this case, Shein Veregel, Peturim B'Shus HaRabim. So Tosas answers that even Regel will be Chayav Rishus HaRabim in the following scenario. The animal is walking through Rishus HaRabim and somehow sends out a force which causes a Hezek in Rishus HaYochid. And this is Sugya later on Daf Yutes, and the conclusion of the Sugya is that you're Chayav in such a case. So here you have a case of Shar, which is called Regel, in which you're Chayav for the nezek that occurred in the Rishus HaNizak and the Rishus HaYochid, even though you had Rishus to take the animal through Rishus HaRabim. So that's what the Gemara here on Daf Vav Amid Beis on the top is saying, Shar Yochiach. The Gemara says, no, Shar is not a good enough proof. Mal is Shar Shekein Darko Lelech Ulahazik. Your case of Potkin Bibiboseim is a case of a Nezek where the Nizak comes to the Mazik, and that we cannot derive from Shar. Shar Yechayefu, because the Shar goes out and damages. But that doesn't prove anything about the case of Potkin Bibiboseim. This is more similar to Bar, with the exception of the fact that Bar is Shalom Bershus, and here it was Bershus. So the Gemara answers, V'chazar Adin, because Bar is going to teach us that even though it's not Darko Lelech Lahasik, Shar is going to teach me even though he brought it in Rishus Aram Bershus, the combination thereof is going to engender in this Tzadashova Achiyu for Potkin Biboseyam. That's the third possibility. That's the possibility of Rav Ada. Now we have the fourth possibility. That's Ravina. Ravina Omar Lasuye Hodisnan. We have a Mishnah at the end of Bab Mitzia, Hakosel Ve'ilon Shenaflu Shesaram Viziku Potamil Shalem. If a person owns a wall and the wall falls and someone is damaged in Rishus Arabim, the owner of the wall is not responsible. Nobody warned him that he better take care of his wall. Same thing applies to an Elon, a tree. But then the Mishnah says, Nosnu lo zman lokutz. Right? Let's say the neighbor has registered a complaint with the local authorities, and Bezdin calls him in and says, look, buddy, you better get rid of your kosel, or fortify it, strengthen it, take care of this Elon. It's going to become a very, and it already is, a very dangerous object. Cut down your Elon, break down your kosel. So now Noflu, he didn't do anything. What does it mean he didn't do anything? If it's Bitoch Hazman within that 30-day period that he allowed, that they gave an allotment, the Ziku, and then it was Mazik within the 30 days as Potur, because you have to give him up to the end of the 30 days to take care of this Mazik and be Kotzeitz his Elon and be Soser his Kosel. But Liachar Azman, after the 30-day period elapsed, and he still didn't remove his kosel, his elon, is in such a case the Mishnah Paskins, Chayav. Now the Gemara wants to analyze under what particular Av of the Avos Nezikin would he be Chayav? Hechidomi. E the Afkare, if he made it Hefker, as we said many times over and over again, according to Rav, as according to Shmuel, he's Chayav Mishum Bar, Hainu Bar. Maishna bar de zeko motzui ushmiroso alecha. Aninami a zeko motzui ushmiroso alecha. Bar, by its very nature, is a damager. Here too, the kosel, and he's been forewarned that the kosel, get rid of it within 30 days. How long is this kosel going to stay, is going to remain standing? So that's called a zeko motzui. After the 30-day period, it's motzui. It's already, I don't want to say predictable, but close to probable that it'll be mazik. And the same thing applies going to Shmuel if he wasn't Mafkir the Kosel. The Omar Shmuel maintains Kulami Boro Lamadnu. So Hainu Bar? Liolam Dafkarinu Vlo Domi Labar. This is not similar to the case of Bar. Malabar Shekin Tchilas Asiyoso Lenezek. Tom Vahani She'ein Tchilas Asiyoso Lenezek. When he set up his Kosel, or when he planted his tree, there was no element of mazik here. The tchilas asiyah from the get-go was not to create a mazik. It became a mazik with the passage of time. So where it says shor yochiach, in shor yechayev, even though shor is not tchilas asiyos lenezek, it's not the nature of a shor is to damage. The Gemara says mal shor shekein darko lelech ulahazik. If you want to prove from Shar that even though Shar is not Tchilas Asiyos Lenezek, I'll hit you with the following. You know why Shar is Chayev? Because the Shar goes out and damages. But in the case of Bar, or this case of Kosel, it's not the Kosel goes out and finds the Nizak. The Nizak comes to the Kosel and he walks underneath this very weak and wary Kosel. Elawad bar tochiach. In bar, the mazik is chayev, despite the fact that Anisa comes to the bar and he falls in. V'chazar adin, and we can learn it now from a combination of Amat Sad, combining shar and bar. Shar, which is ein tchilas nezek, bar, where the nizak goes to the mazik, and therefore the lowest common denominator is it's mamon chosh mirasan olecha. Here, Rabosai, we have a quote from the Rosh in the name of the Gedolei Ador, and the Rosh claims that in all these four cases, whether it's Abaye, Rava, Rav Ador, Ravino, in all these cases, since the final chiyuv in these four scenarios is a derivation from A plus B, from two avos mazikin that we have to combine together in a tzad shaveh, therefore the kulos, the pturim that apply to either one of these two malamdim, of these two avos that generate the chiyuv in the case that we're dealing with, again, one of the four cases, all these pturim will apply. For example, if you want to talk about deriving from Eish, then the kula is going to be that Eish is Potter and Tomlin. If you're deriving it from Bar, Bar is Potter from Adam and Kalim. So if you have a combination of Bar plus Eish, if you remember the case of Avno Sakinim Asoshi Nichon Berosh Gago, and that was the case way back when of Abaye, we also had Rava's case of Bar Mizgalgal. That too was derived from its Adashovah, from Shar and Bar. We're going to have to say that in these scenarios of Abai and Rava, there will be a Ptur of Tamun. On the other hand, we have to also superimpose the Pturim of Shar. So, for example, in the context of Rav Ado Bar Ava's case of Potkin Bibo Sehen, we needed to introduce the case of Shar. Let me just read that to you again. Right, it says Mal Lebar Shekain Shalob Rishus Tomat Rishus, and at the beginning of Amud Beis, Rav Ados supplements the derivation from Bar with Shar Yochiach. And therefore, we're going to have to apply the Pturim of Shar. For example, in the case of Keren, we're going to have to differentiate between the first three times and the fourth time, Fakatsi Nezek versus Nezek Sholem, or if it's from Shein V'Regel, then we're going to have to derive it from, you're going to have to derive the Pturim of Rishus HaRavim in this case, and superimpose that. Again, when the Gemara says Shor Yochiach, the premise that we're working with to prove that Yechai for something that goes out and damages, be more precise, Shekein Darko Lelech Ulahazik, that could be Lechora, any one of the three. It could be Keren, it could be Regel, it could be Shein, Darko Lelech Ulahazik. And that's going to be true even for Avino, who's going to derive the case of Kosel Vilin Shenaflu from a combination of Bar and Shar. But after the Rush quotes the Gedolei Hadoros, he himself disagrees. He's of the opinion that in the case of a Tzad HaShoveh, the way a Tzad HaShoveh operates is that you have the primary malamed, and then you have like a pircha, a hole in that has to be patched up, right? You have a kasha. How can you equate the two cases? And the Rush insists that in all four shitos, whether we go with Abaye, Rava, Rav Ado, or Ravino, what's common to all of them is that we have a bar. We have something that was mazik after it landed. The nizak came to the mazik and he damaged himself, and we have a pircha in each case. Again, in every case there's a different sort of pircha. One pircha might be because of koach achmurav bo, And another pircha might be because it was done birshus. Another pircha might be because it's not tchilas asiyos lenezek. But in every single case, we're going to invite another mazik, another shame mazik, in order to establish that pircha is not really a pircha, that the absence of X is not a siva poteres, because in other cases of mazikin where you're lacking X, nevertheless you're chayav. But fundamentally, if we have to define the tzuras ahezek and the shem mazik, says the Rosh, it is bar in all four cases. And therefore only the pturim of bar will apply, lafuki the pturim of sharnesh, which means that bar won't be chayev for kalim, won't be chayev for shar v'adam, it'll be chayev for kalim, and that halacha will apply in all four scenarios. Rabosai, we're up to the two dots now on daf vav amud beis, and we have three lines which are relatively less significant. Kisha hizik chav hamasik. The Gemara wants to understand the word chav. Chav hamasik, chayav hamasik mi boile. Classically, we don't use the word chav, we say chayav. Om Rav Yudom Rav, Haitana, the author of our Mishnah, is a Yerushalmi who, and the Yerushalmim, the Tani, they teach Belishna Klila in a very abridged, short form. They don't use the full word. They have abbreviated words. So the word chav is abbreviated form of chayav. And now we have another two dots. And then we start with the Mishnah of Lashalem Tashlume Nezek, where the Mishnah establishes that in all the mazikim, the avos mazikim, you pay from Meitav. And this is derived from the parasha of Meitav Sadeh, Meitav Karmo Yishalem. What we're about to embark upon is a major sugya unto itself that has repercussions way beyond the confines of Nezikin, and that is how to define the mechanics and the operating force of paying Meitav. Meitav means that you define the payment and the mehezek in terms of the best quality of karka that there is. And the question is, that best quality, which is also called idis, as opposed to the worst quality, which is called ziboris. You know, you can give an example of real estate. You know, you can purchase a gigantic piece of real estate out in the wilds of Wyoming, and it may have a lot more space and the identical price of a very small space in mid-Manhattan, but mid-Manhattan, you can guarantee yourself, is going to go up in price. I don't know about the wild frontiers there in Wyoming or those states over there. So what I'm saying is that the issue of whether you classify and describe something as idis or ziburis has nothing to do with the market value. It may be a larger ziburis that parallels and equals value of a smaller idis, but the idis has the advantage. That's the best quality. And if that be the case, when the Torah says Meitav Sadehu, which is a pronoun, his Meitav, Yishalem, who's the who, or who's the he? Is it the Meitav of the Mazik, or is it the Meitav of the Nizak? In other words, the Chiddush of Meitav is that, you know, you might have otherwise thought, instead of paying Idis, you pay Ziburis, the lower quality. Well, let's analyze that. You know, if you're talking about the Hezek itself, and you would have thought that the Hezek is evaluated through Ziburis, probably because the Hezek took place on Ziburis. No. The Torah is saying, Meitav Yishalem, let him pay it as if the Hezek took place on the Idis. That's really a revolutionary Chiddush. That's a kind of a penalty, like a Knas. Because if the Hezek was on Ziburis, why do we evaluate the Hezek in terms of Idis? perhaps the more intuitive way of understanding Meitav is to say that we're not talking about how to evaluate the Hezek, but we're talking about how to implement the payment of the Hezek. And insofar as Karka can be paid by the Mazik to the Nizak as compensation for the damage, what kind of Karka does the Mazik give? Again, we're not talking about value now, it's just quality. The value is always the same. And the Torah says, Meitav Sadeh, you know, whether you like it or not, Adoni Yamazik, you got to pay with Meitav. Again, it's not a fine or a penalty. There's no Knas element here. You're paying exactly the market value of the Hezek that you caused. But the medium for payment has got to be Meitav. So without further ado, let's begin the Sugya. Tana Rabbanan. The Braisa begins with the Sheet of Rabbi Yishmael. Meitav sadeu, meitav karba yishalim, meitav sadeu shal nizak, u meitav karma shal nizak, divrei Rabbi Yishmael. And this is a mind-boggling chiddush that Reuven's shor damaged Shimon's ziburis, and yet Reuven will pay Shimon as if his shor had damaged damaged Shimon's idis. And obviously the Hezek to Idis is a greater value than the Hezek to Ziburis. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says that's not intuitive, and it doesn't even sound like it in the Pshat in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says Meitav Sadeu, etc. Yishalim. You know, we're talking about the Yishalim here. The Yishalim is the Mazik, not the Nizak. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Lo Ba Kosev El Ligvos L'Nezikim Min HaIdias. So when you pay, when the Mazik pays the Nizak with Karka, he's got to pay with Idis. It doesn't say anywhere that he has to pay him with Karka, but if he so chooses, he's going to have to pay with the best quality that he has. I'm not going to make him sell his Karka to buy a better quality of Karka in order to pay the Nizak, but whatever is his best in the possession currently of the Mazik, that's what he has to fork over to the Nizak. That's the Shita Rabbi Akiva. Kalachomer leHegdesh. And how much more so if a person takes upon himself to pay Hegdesh, he's got to pay them with Idis. And the Gemara is going to enter into a discussion about this later on. So now the Gemara asks the obvious question about Rabbi Yishmael. I don't get it. Rabbi Yishmael, Ochal Shmeina Mishalim Shmeina, Ochal Tchusha Mishalim Shmeina. If the animal ate the tomato patches of Shmeina, then clearly he pays for a Shmeina. This is idiots. But how can you now tell me that Ochal Khusha, if the animal ate and damaged the Nizak in a Khusha, in a very poor quality land, Khusha is like lean, you know, is Mishalim Shmeina, we have to evaluate it as if he had destroyed a very expensive piece of property? Where do we find in the Torah such a knas? Okay, he wasn't shomer his mazik. He didn't take good care of his shor and tie it up in a locked, you know, corral. But therefore, we should penalize him and he should pay more than the nezek. And from the perspective of the nizak, why does he deserve to make a profit on the deal? Omar Rav Idi Bar Oven, we have to reinterpret Rabbi Yishmael Achamaya Skinon. What does Rabbi Yishmael mean when he says, Meitav shel nizak, kigon sha'achal aruga bein arugos, velo yad'inon ikhushachal ishmeinachal? So we now are in a situation of suffering where there's no way that we can be definite about how to evaluate the Hezek. If we assume that the Hezek took place to a very high quality aruga means a patch, then that jacks up the price and the demand, the rights of the Nizak to demand a higher compensation. But if on the other hand, the Hezek took place in a Khusha, which is a lower quality patch, then obviously that's going to reflect a lower value of compensation. Comes along the Torah and says, you know what, you don't know whether it was Idis or Ziburis, whether it was Khusha or Shmeina, pay Shmeina, pay the higher amount. That's called Meitav Shel Nizak. Meaning assume that it was the it was the Shemena that was damaged, and therefore evaluate the Hezek appropriately. And the question here is, and that's what Rav is going to object to, why would the Torah tip the scale of a Suffolk in favor of the Nizak at the expense, the deficit of the Mazik? Amar Rava, Ma ilu yadina de kusha chalo mishalim el kusha. Rav Idi admits and insists that if we were to know with certainty that the Hezek took place on a kusha, the lower quality, then for sure you would pay that, and he doesn't pay for a Shemena. Is hash the lo yadina? Now the Nizak doesn't have ways of establishing and proving with certainty. Kusha chal Shemena chal, we don't know. Is mishal Shemena? You're going to force the Mazik to cough up the higher, the better quality karka, motzi mechavel of a raya. The burden of proof is always incumbent upon the baldin, the claimant, the plaintiff who is suing for damages. It's his burden, it's his responsibility to come up with a proof if he wants to collect money. We're not going to collect money against, you know, from the Mazik in this case, when there's no clear-cut case against him. We need clear-cut evidence against him. The Gemara says, Ein olchim omen achar rov. Even a rov is not enough to be motzi momen. And certainly not a Suffolk 50-50. Ela omarav acha bar Yaakov. And this is going to be the final, you know, he's revealing the what's going to be the accepted understanding of Rabbi Shmuel's Meitav Shel Nizak. The case is Achmayas Kinon Kegon Shahoisa Idis de Nizak Kiziburis de Mazik. If the Idis, in other words, the Nizak has various quality levels of karka that go from the worst to the best. The best of the Nizak is equivalent to the ziburis of the mazik, which means the lower level of the mazik. Ubaha pligi, Rabbi Shmuel savar b'denizak shayminon. Enochidami, as far as evaluating the hezek, we're going to evaluate it according to the general laws of nezikin and of dinimominus, which means that the mazik certainly will not be chayv to pay a penny more than the hezek that he caused. But in terms of how he has to pay up, does the Mazik have a right to say, I want to pawn off my Ziburis in order to pay the Nizak? Or does he have to actually take away the best of his karka and give it to the Nizak? Is that the machlokas? Rabbi Shmuel Sabra bin Nizak Shaiminon, the kind of quality karka that the Mazik has to pay to the Nizak is the best of the best that's owned by the Nizak, which again is equivalent to the worst of the worst that's owned by the Mazik. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, the Nizak is going to lose in this case, and we're going to be harsh, so to speak, harsh on the Nizak and limit his claim to the best that he has, which is, in this case, unfortunately, Ziburis. Rabbi Akiva said, no, let's be harsh on the Mazik, but the Mazik Shaiminon, and therefore, if the Mazik has Idis, or whatever is the Idis of the Mazik, that's the best he has, that's what he has to fork over in payment to the Nizak, again, under the premise that he's paying in karka. And this seems to be a very logical way of understanding the machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Namely, does the Mazik have a right to say, you know what, I'll give you the Nizak payment in a karka that's equivalent in its quality to the level of the best that you have? That's called Bina Nizak Shaimina. Or no, shall we say, as Rabbi Akiva would insist, that the Mazik has no right to pawn off his Ziburis in payment for the best of the Nizaks? No. We're going to look at your karka, Mr. Mazik, and we're going to say to you, you better pay with the best that you have. Again, it's always the same at the price, but the question is the quality of the karka. Tosus points out that if things were a little bit different, and the Mazik is not so highfalutin, you know, from high society, and the best that he has doesn't measure up even to the worst of the Nizaks, so that if there's halacha of Rabbi Shmuel, but a Nizak Shemini, let's be harsh in this case on the Mazik, and force him to somehow come up with karka. If he has to sell his own karka to buy idis, to buy quality, superior quality of what he has, to the best of what he, the mazik, has, let's be harsh on the mazik in this case, says Tosus. Nein, that's not true. We never have a halacha that the mazik has to go out and buy karka to get a hold of idis if he doesn't own idis to pay. True that if he owns it, he'll have to pay with it in certain cases. And that's certainly true according to Rabbi Akiva. But we don't force the mazik to go out and buy idis in order to be able to pay the nizak idis. That form, the parashat halacha of Meitav does not go. It doesn't reach that far. Tosis does throw out another possibility, which is called b'shel olam hein shaman. That's a sugya later on. That there may be a way of defining the karka as either ziburis or idis in objective terms. Not the way we've been doing it now. The premise now has been subjectively. What's the best of the best of Reuven the Nizak? What's best of the best of Shimon the Mazik? No. There's something called Bishal Olam Shaman. And therefore, let's say that if the ziburis of the Mazik is the same as the idis de alma, meaning in objective terms, in terms of the market, it would be evaluated as idis. According to Rabbi Akiva, who says, "Bid the mazik shayminon," the mazik now could give his idis. I'm sorry, he could give his ziburis, which is in objective market terms, equivalent to idis, and that's how, according to Rabbi Akiva, he, the mazik, would pay meitav. Because the mazik has ziburis, which is on such a high level. I guess you'd have to say the mazik is a very, very wealthy person. He's enormously rich in such a way that even the lowest quality of his karka in objective market value would be considered qualitatively idis. And therefore, let him pay with ziburis. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, you know, we go by the idis of the Nizak, right? Meitav shall Nizak. And in such a case, the Nizak is in possession of Idis that goes way beyond the market value of Idis. He's a rich guy. He has a right to demand Idis. And that's the discussion here in Tosus, the Ramasil Kigon. The Gemara now continues and explains how Rabbi Shmuel arrived or derived his conclusion. My time of the Rabbi Shmuel, Nemar Sodel Amato v'Nemar Sodel Amalo. Rabbi Shmuel establishes a Gzeirah Shava Sode. There are two psukim in which the word Sode appears, and the contiguous one to the other. Sode Limato is when it says Meitav Sodeu Yishalim, that's the pasuk we've been dealing with, and Sode Limala is Ubir Bistei Acher, which was, let's say, Shane. And in the case of Ubir Bistei Acher, it says the following. Let's read it inside. Ma sodom lemala denizak, af sodom lemata denizak. In the case of ubir bestei acher, the soda is referring to the soda of the nizak. That's explicit in the pasuk. Your shame entered into my soda and ate my tomatoes. And therefore, since it says the word soda in that pasuk, ubir bestei acher, referring to the soda of the nizak, then by virtue of the gzeirah shava, when it says meitav sodeu yishalim, the soda is also the soda of the nizak. Rabbi Akiva says, wait a minute, let's leave out the gzeirah shava for a moment. Let's interpret the pasuk of meitav sodeu yishalim kipshuto in a straightforward way. Rabbi Akiva, Meitav Sodeh, Meitav Karma, Yishalim, Dehech, Dekam, Yishalim. The Sodeh here is certainly the Sodeh of he who pays, right? It says, Meitav Sodeh, Yishalim. So just like the word Yishalim refers to the Mazik, clearly Sodeh refers to the Mazik. You know, the Torah would not have in one single verse two different subjects in the same breath. So now we really have a question, an implicit question on Rabbi Shmuel. How can Rabbi Shmuel ignore the straightforward pshat in the pasuk? And even though we have, you know, there is weight and significance to Gzeir Shava, but not to upset and to do injustice to the straightforward pshat in the pasuk. Says the Gemara of Rabbi Shmuel, Ahani Gzeir Shava, Ahani Kro. Rabbi Shmuel says we're going to rely on both. We're going to accept the Gzeir Shava and we're going to accept the pasuk. Ahani Gzeir Shava, Kidaka Imna. The Gzeir Shava is going to help me to establish, as we saw from the word Bir Bistei Acher, that the Meitav here that has to be paid is the Meitav of the Nizak. Fine. But now doesn't that do injustice and shake up the simple pshat, the Kra, the Gemara calls the Kra? He says, no, Ahani Kra, and there's not going to be a contradiction. In the following scenario, Kagon, the Islay La Mazik Idis Viziburis, the Mazik has, we'll call it, the highest quality. You know, on a scale from A all the way up to F, it's number F. It's the highest quality. It's the best the Mazik has. He also has Ziburis, which we'll call D. And then the Nizak has Idis, the best of the Nizak's Idis, we'll call it E, right, E being midway between D and F, if you follow my point. The Idis the Nizak, the Ziburis the Mazik. I'm sorry, the Idis the Nizak. So the Nizak has Idis, which is not quite up to par in comparison with the Idis of the Mazik. Ziburis the Mazik, Lo Shavya ki Idis the Nizak. And the Ziburis of the Mazik, we remember the Mazik had two pieces of kaki, had the F and the D. And the Ziburis of the Mazik, which is D, falls short of the Edis of the Nizak. Because as we said before, the Edis of the Nizak is midway, a sandwich between D and F. It's, we'll call it E, right? That was the key word. The key letter was E. So what happens here? Says Rabbi Shmuel, this is a perfect reconciliation of both the Gzeir Shav and the Kra. The Mishalim lay Mimetav Didei. In this case, the Mazik has to pay from his best quality, which is F. So in this scenario, since the Mazik does not have a Ziburis to match up to the Idis of the Nizak, Lo Motzi Amrla, you would say that maybe the Mazik intuitively should say to the Nizak, look, Ta'at Gavi Miziburis. Look, if I had, you know, Idis that was equal to the quality of your Idis, then certainly I would pay you that. But if I don't have to go up a Madrega, I want to go down a Madrega. Let me give you Ziburis in the absence of an Idis that matches up, that equals to your Madrega. And the answer is no. We reject, Rabbi Shmuel rejects such an argument of the Mazik. Elagavi mimetav. The Mazik is going to have to shell out his best Idis. So again, let's see how this is an overlap of both the Gzeir Shava and the Kra. The Gzeir Shava taught me that the Mazik has to pay the Idis of the Nizak, right? Bin Nizak, because of the Parsha of Ubir B'Stei Acher. And that would lead us to the conclusion that in this case, the Mazik is going to have to pay. He's going to have to pay at least the equivalent of what we call the E, right, which is the Idis of the Nizak. Oh, but now the Mazik comes along and says, well, I don't want to give you your Idis because my Idis is better than your Idis. I'm going to give you my Ziburis. So on that, the Pshat Pashti, the Crow, which says, like Rabbi Akiva would have it, Bidamazik Hashaminon, right? He who's paying is the one who has to give Meitav, which means the payer is the damager, is the Mazik. And therefore, in this case, what we want to suggest is that the Mazik is going to have to go up a Madrig and pay with his Idis, which again, that was Rabbi Akiva's point from Pashti the Kra. Then it would say that when it says Meitav Karmo Yishalim, is the one who's Mishalim is paying Meitav. So here's a perfect, in other words, the Kra is coming to be Machria in a situation where the Gzeirah Shavah would not be crystal clear, would leave you to a kind of a dead end, a question mark. You don't know whether the Mazik has rights to say, I'll pay you my Zibrus, because I don't want to pay you my Yiddis, because my Yiddis is superior to the Heftzah Nizak, which is the Yiddis of the Nizak. Comes along the Kra, the Pashti, the Kra, and says, no, be the Mazik Shaminon. The Mazik is going to have to go up a Madrig and pay with Yiddis in order to match and go a little bit beyond the Yiddis of the Nizak. That's be the Mazik Shaminon. Now, I'd like to present in a quick synopsis form the machlokas here between the Rosh and the Ritva. I had to understand Rabbi Yishmael, and the case is where the Idis of the Nizak is superior to the Ziburis of the Mazik. So obviously, according to Rabbi Shmuel, the Mazik cannot pawn off his Ziburis because that's inferior to the Yiddis of the Nizak. On the other hand, what else does the Mazik have in his possession? He's got Beinonis, which is better than the Yiddis of the Nizak. He's got Yiddis, which is a lot better than the Yiddis of the Nizak. It's even better than the Beinonis of the Mazik. So basically, the Mazik has three levels. He's got Yiddis, Beinonis, and Ziburis. And the Yiddis of the Nizak in this case is wedged in between the Ziburis of the Mazik and the Beinonis of the Mazik. And the Rosh insists that according to Rabbi Shmuel in this case, the Mazik has to go all the way up to the top. It's not enough that he gives Beinonis to the Nizak, even though his Beinonis is superior to the Yiddis of the Nizak. He's got to give his Yiddis because that's what the cross says. Meitav Karma Yishalik. But the Ritva says, and the Rosh quotes this also in the name of Yesh Omrim, that in this case the Mazik can pawn off his Beinonis as payment to the Nizak. And Ahani Kra, that works for the case where the Nizak has no Meitiv, Meitav, right? But here, if he has the Meitav, meaning he has the Beinonis, if he has no other Meitiv that tops the Yiddis of the Nizak, then he's got to go all the way up to the Yiddis, and that's the case in the Mishnah, but in the Gemara itself. But if the Mazik could topple and go beyond the quality of the Yiddis of the Nizak by paying with his, meaning the Mazik's Beinonis, that itself becomes a kium of Kra, Pashti the Kra, namely that the Mazik has to pay with his Yiddis. The Mazik's Yiddis is called Beinonis, and it's not the best of the best in the Mazik. Why does it gain the status of Meitav? The answer is because relative to the Yiddis of the Nizak, it's Meitav. And that's an automatic absolute establishment of the Beinonis as Yiddis, at least for the purpose of Tashlumin. Gemara continues now, and we're moving towards the bottom of Vav Amid Beis. Rabbi Akiva Omer lo bar kosev el ligvos l'nezikin min ha'idis v'kal v'chomer hegdesh lehegdesh. In other words, if in nezikin the payment has to be idis, how much more so in the case of hegdesh does he have to pay with his idis? My kal v'chomer lehegdesh. What are we talking about when we say he has to pay Hegdish with Yiddis? Elam, if it's a case of Dinogach Torah Didon, with Torah de Hegdish, a civilian, a rank of false citizens, Shar, was Nogach the Shar of Hegdish. There is no payment in this case at all. No tashlumin is zikin. Why? Shor re'eu, Amar Achmona. The Torah says, ki yigov shor ish shor re'eu. And the word re'eu is always the exclusion of shal hegdesh. V'lo shor shal hegdesh. Ela le'omer hare alai mona. Le'bedek habayis, a person takes upon himself a pledge to deliver a sum of money, we'll call it 1,000, to bedek habayis, which is called kedushas domim. And now he wants to pay up with its equivalent value in karka. The osi gizbar v'shokel mi'idis. When the gizbar collects on behalf of the bedek habayis, he has rights to do so from idis. And the person who took this neder upon himself, harei alai money. He took upon himself 1,000, which is called Mea Dinrim, for Bet HaKabayis. He doesn't have the right to pawn off an inferior quality karka as payment for this Mea Dinrim that he took upon himself to pay. And the Gemara is unhappy about this because of the principle of Lo Yehei Ela Kibal Chov. In other words, the chiyuv that this man who took this pledge to Hegdesh is equivalent of a chiyuv of any chov. And with regard to chov, the halacha is established as follows. And here we have to turn to Dav Zayin Omid Aleph. Bal chov bebeinanis. The Gemara establishes in Masechta Gittin that when a bal chov comes to collect, let's say Reuven borrows 100 dinrim from Shimon, and now Shimon defaults on the loan, the bal chov is going to collect karka from Shimon. That's called Mishubadim. He collects from Beinanis. That's the halacha of bal chov. Why should Hegdesh be different than a bal chov? And there's no element here of Nezikin. So Rav Avi say this sugya of Hegdesh is what we have to pick up in Mirtz Hashem on Daf Zayin. In the next sugya, we'll stop here.